we talked about the family. The very first institution that God created in this world was the family. He didn't build a bank first. He didn't start a supermarket first. He didn't even start a school first, kids. But the first thing he did was to start a family. And he ordained that the family be structured just right, and if certain structures is adhered to, and if the commandments of the Bible are followed, then it's going to be just right. But it seems like because of things happening, like the evil one coming against the family is coming down. It's falling apart. It's crumbling. It's being torn apart at the seams, we have said. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at some failures on father's report cards. And last Sunday, we looked at some failures on mom's report cards. Today, we want to look at the children. And kids, and this is to everybody, because we're all kids, regardless of our age, but especially to the children this day, we want to address ourselves, because God is going to bless this day the children of our church. Let's bow and pray, may we? Father, I thank you for the children that are present, and I ask that in the name of Jesus, every child here, young and old, will realize that they are a somebody and a somebody special. And I praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your word become life to us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids, I would like for you to stand, but I'm not going to do that because I know where I was when I was a child. And if the pastor had asked me to stand, I would have been petrified. I couldn't have handled it. But I would like to honor you. I wish you could stand, but we won't ask you to do that. Because then you'll have to say, well, how old would you have a cutoff age as a child? Age 12, and then if you're 13, you wouldn't stand. I address myself to the children. I'm talking to the toddlers that are present, the babies in arms that are present. I'm addressing myself to the preschool kids that are here. And you kids, listen carefully. I'm addressing myself to the kindergartners, the first, second, and third graders, the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh graders, to the junior high students, and the high school kids as well. And I'm also addressing myself, when I say the word young people, to the college-age kids. And yes, as Nancy said, to us all, because we are children and we must never forget that. So children, you are a somebody. I wish to God somebody had told me that when I was your age. But I grew up in elementary school, beaten down. I grew up and went to high school thinking I was a nobody, the worst guy in the world. I looked the worst. I was the worst. I had a small wart on my little finger, and it was the biggest thing in the world. Everybody in the world knew about my wart, and it bothered me, and it drew me down and down. And I'd get to school early because Dad would drop me off at high school, and instead of going to where I should go, I was so afraid of life, not knowing that I had a standing with Jesus. I was a Christian too, but did not know what I want you kids to know today. That I would walk around the first floor of that high school building. I'd go upstairs to the second floor. I'd go up to the third floor and walk around because the building was built in a big square. And I would just walk. And if somebody would stop and want to talk to me, I would say, I got to go, I got to go. I had no place to go. But I went. I wish somebody could have said, stop! Are you a Christian? Yes, I've been baptized when I was 9 years old. You go to church? Yes, I go to Sunday school and church. I don't like it, but I go. I go. I'm a Christian. I guess I know that. And I wish somebody could have stopped and taken the time to tell me, you are somebody. You are a somebody. Kids, you are a somebody now. And don't you think you're not. Whether you got red hair or black hair or white hair or blonde hair or no hair at all, you're a somebody. Now listen to this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, kids. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he him. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, over the fowl, over every creeping thing that moves upon the earth. Here, adult, God has said, you have dominion over them. We're not taking that place, though. God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of it, of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So at the beginning, there was no meat eating people. They were only vegetarians. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I've given it to you. Every green herb for meat, the green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was G-O-O-D. Say it. It was what? Good. Kids, God created you in his image. He created you. And if God took the time to make you, listen, God doesn't make nobody. God only makes somebody. Therefore, you are a somebody, kids. You are a somebody. And I want you to know that it is true that you are important. So let me tell you a few things. First of all, to the parents, when you have a small tree growing in your yard, many times you place a fence around the tree. You don't place a fence around a big oak tree or a towering pine tree, but you place the fence around the little tree. Why? So that it won't get trampled upon, so it won't get bent, so it won't get stepped on. Parents, we have got to put a fence around our children. Now, by this I mean, we have got to fence them in with Christian education. Now, we've got to loose them to God, but we've got to provide the invisible fence that they need so they won't be trampled on by the enemy. Satan is after the kids. A demon told a pastor when he was casting the demons out, the demon said, we have been given orders on that particular Sunday to come in and to pinch the children, to make them cry, to distract the attention of the congregation against what the pastor was trying to preach upon. So, we've got to watch it, parents, as we put the fence around our children. So they won't be twisted, they won't be injured, because Satan is after the kids. And we put strong stakes beside some plants. Let me just tell you, you put that stake of Christ by your child and you wrap around them the love of Jesus, and it stays there for life. And so the sign of the factory said, watch your step. We've got to watch our steps, adults, for the kids, so they won't be hurt. But kids, I want to give you five little simple steps. The first is this, kids, be yourselves. Let me hear everybody say that. Be yourselves. Just be yourselves. Don't fall into a mold. Don't think that you've got to walk like somebody, you've got to talk like somebody, you've got to be like somebody. Be yourself. Adults, too. Be an individual. Be yourself. God created you to be a somebody, not like every other body. Be yourself, kids. Are you listening, children? Be yourselves. And I'm reminded of that little violet. How many of you kids know what a violet is? Tiny flower, very small little flower. This little violet was growing in the king's court. And beside it were these big zinnias, and there were those big other flowers. I don't know any of the flowers but a zinnia. But there were all kind of other flowers, and there were little trees, and they were complaining. The zinnia said, I wish I didn't have these big old petals all over my face. I don't want to be a zinnia. I want to be a tulip. And the tulip was saying, I'm getting so sick and tired of looking like a tulip. I want to be something else. They were all complaining. But the little violet said, you know, they said, why aren't you complaining? Towering shrubberies, plants, flowers. Why aren't you complaining, little violet? You're the smallest thing around here. And that little violet said, well, you know, little squeaky voice, you know, I guess the king wanted me. I guess the king wanted a violet because he planted a violet. God wanted the violet there, and the little violet realized that it was a something special or it wouldn't have been there. Young people, you're there because God wants you there. And before you were even born, God knew about you. Praise God. So first of all, be yourself. And children, you may not know this, but you are jewels to your parents. You kids are like bolts to an engine. Engine has to have bolts in it, and you kids are bolts. And for parents, we need to realize that a childless man is like a loose engine. It's got to be bolted. Bolted to the community before it can work for its advantages. Therefore, for the kids, be yourselves, if you will. Let's hear everybody say it. Be yourselves. Be yourselves. Secondly, well, it's sort of like be of good cheer. Just be of good cheer because you've got Jesus as your partner. Let's hear us say that. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Don't go around with a frown. Don't start worrying about this and that. But kids, you have got Jesus as your partner. Now you say, well, so what? Jesus was with God when the foundations of the earth were put together. And the same Jesus is your partner. Boy, I can think of no better business partner for the adults or no better childhood partner than to have Jesus, to know that Jesus is my partner. And parents, we need to know that the kids need to know this too. And you may want to put a note in the lunch pail sometime. Jesus loves you. You need, as parents, to say from time to time, kids, be of good cheer. And you as parents need to cultivate the children in the soil that they're growing up in because, you know, weeds will grow spontaneous in any kind of soil. Therefore, a valuable crop has to be cultivated and protected, and the heart of the kids need to be protected. And this is why we have Sunday school. This is why we have meetings where we teach the Word of God. It cultivates the kids. And they, as little saplings, are growing up in the soil provided by you as an adult. Therefore, they learn. And sometimes they learn things they won't even use for many, many years. Daniel Webster said, I've learned things 25 years ago I never used, but finally there came a time when I needed to know it. God's your partner. And a third thing, kids, is this. Beyond yourself, just beyond yourself, which is to say, you've got brothers and sisters, you've got friends. Well, just besides thinking of yourself, try to step out just for a moment and beyond yourself to other people and do something good for these other people. Be kind to them. Relate to your brother and sister and your teacher, your parents, your playmates, and your friends. Be kind and considerate, because even some Proverbs 20, it says, a child is known by his doings. Beyond yourself, and let God help you help somebody else. Do you know that it was just a little child that said, hey, Jesus, here's my lunch. God used it. Kids, don't ever say you can't be used of God because you're too small, you're too short, you're not old enough. No, God can use you just where you are if you'll let him help you beyond yourself. Now, the fourth thing is the most important, I think, and that is to be obedient. Kids, let me hear you say it. Parents, listen carefully. Be obedient. Be obedient, kids. Now, listen, we're going to turn to God's Word now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. And it reads like this. Now, this doesn't start off talking about the parents. It doesn't talk off on anybody else but children. Now, children, it says right here. Ephesians 6, 1. Children, you say, yes. Obey your parents in the Lord, for it's right. Verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promises. that it will be well with you and that you would live long on the earth. Now, this is God's word, kids. Be obedient. Don't be stubborn. Don't have lack of respect for your parents or for authority, whatever the authority might be. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father. Honor your mother. Your mother and dad can be wrong in what they say, but you honor them. Father told his son, he said, now this is what it's going to be. Now I may be wrong, but you as a child have got to accept it. And you can even say, Father, I do think you're wrong. I think you're wrong, Dad. But since you said it, I'm going to do it. So children, you've got to be obedient to your parents. You've got to mind your parents. Now, this is a pretty hard thing to do sometimes. God says, children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother. This is the very first commandment. And it's the first commandment with a promise that it will be well with you. The last thing is this, kids. It's just to be aware, just sort of be aware of what's all about you. Be aware, like it says in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts that dwelleth in Mount Zion. Kids, beware that you may say something that will change your dad and change your mom into things of the Spirit. Now it says right here, children, just sort of beware. Beware. The Lord has given you maybe for a sign and for a wonder. You know, for the parent, let me just refer you to Psalm 127:3. It says, children are a heritage of the Lord. We're always talking about what can I get? Let me have this, or give me that, or you want to inherit this. Children are an inheritance from God, it says right here. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, and they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. This speaks of the family who has children. And it's like olive plants, the Bible refers to it. And the man is happy that he's got the kids, and the woman is happy that she has the children. And it says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. The kids will not be ashamed. The fathers will not be ashamed. They'll speak with the enemies in the gates. Children, be aware of God's presence. Be aware of God's protection. Be aware of God's care, kids. God loves you, and he cares for you. God loves you, and he cares for you. He loves you. He cares for you. The little boy was found in the street, right beside the gutter. He was sitting there, and he was crying. And a kind, tender-hearted man walked by and saw the little boy. And he stooped down, and as he touched the boy, he realized the boy was sick, burning up with fever. Looked around. There was nobody anywhere around. The little boy was right there. 8, 9 years old. And so he reached down and lifted up the little fellow, and he said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm waiting. Oh, tell me. The little boy said, Jesus took my mom when she was sick, and my dad died earlier. But when my mom died, she said, son, God's going to take care of you because he loves you. And my mom never told a lie. My mom never told a lie, mister. And I am waiting for God to take care of me. And boy, you know, tears just rushed to this man's eyes, and he says, I am here. The little fellow's right there with nobody. And the little fellow looked up to him and said, you know, God, my mother never lied. He will come, won't he? But it just broke the guy down. Will he come? And he said, yes, he will, son. God sent me. God sent me. And he reached down and he picked up the little fella. And the little guy then said, well, why did it take you so long? Why did it take you so long to get here? Kids, God's going to take care of you. He's going to protect you because he loves you. God loved you so much that he took his son, his only son, and had him crucified on a tree. You say, well, how much does God love me? Well, God said, I'll love you this much, kids. And he spread out his arms upon the cross. And that includes all of the children. God loves you that much. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Little kids, you seek God, you'll find him. I love them that love me, and those that seek me. However, it says in the New Testament that God first loved and so loved that he gave his only begotten son. Kids, I believe in you no matter what your age is. If you're a teenager, I believe in you because God doesn't make mistakes. I believe in you because you're growing up and you may outgrow your clothes. You'll outgrow ideas. You'll outgrow habits and childishness. But these are dynamic things. They're dynamite. I believe in the young people today in this church because they're a good investment. I believe in you, the young people, that when you wake up to Jesus, you'll be the best investment in this whole wide world. And a little child shall lead them. Young people, parents, I am amazed at the teaching in our church school. We've got faculty members, I'm telling you, that are teaching the truths of God that adults are just now beginning to learn. And we've got little kids, we've got little children that are able to go around and testify and rebuke Satan. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. And when a person gets a cut, I rebuke that, foul spirit, I rebuke you, and I claim a healing. And we've got little kids growing up knowing a lot more than some of the adults growing up. So kids, just be aware. So here they are. Be yourself, be of good cheer, be on yourself, be obedient, and be aware to what is happening. Because kids, you're special. God didn't take the time to make a nobody. And you may say, well, Pastor, I just don't feel like I'm anything. I just don't feel good about myself. We adults call that self-esteem. Oh, I just don't feel good about myself. Everything is wrong about me. And Satan uses this to beat you down. God wants to lift you up. The scripture says he is a lifter of the head. So parents, help the kids. And kids, you listen to what I'm saying. You are important. In fact, you're the most important person in this world. And back at the turn of the century, when there were horse and buggies, in one of the big cities, let's say it was Salinas, this actually happened. There was a little baby, a toddler, who had toddled away from the mother and gone into the street. The mother was window shopping and was so engrossed in what was in the window that it had forgotten. It let loose of the baby, and the child started wandering off the board sidewalk and got into the street, and had just, as a child would do, just wandered around having fun out here, unaware of the approaching danger. And so this carriage is making its way down the street, past the speed limit, just going down the street, and evidently the driver was unaware that the baby was there, and people turned, and they saw what was happening. But this mother, not the mother of the child, but another mother, saw what was happening, and rushed out with all of her might, and picked up the toddler, and got the toddler on the other side of the street. And people started coming around, and got getting there before the real mother could. And one man said, boy, you sure must love your toddler. You sure must love your son. The lady said, not my son, but somebody's son. Kid, you're somebody, and you're important. And I believe the Lord would have us this day lay hands upon all the children in this church to receive God's blessings. The Word of God says that it's imparted by the laying on of hands. I think in some cases, kids need to be anointed with oil. I think in a few minutes we need to rebuke the spirits that are in our children. And kids, this doesn't mean we don't love you. But it means we love you so much that we're not going to let a spirit come in and do damage to you, even though you may like the spirit. If a baby is on the lawn in front of the courthouse, and a wolf would come on that lawn and start getting close to the child, and we men and women were on the street over here just talking after we got out of church, would we just stand there and watch it? No, what would we do? We'd run over there and we'd say, hey, get away from here, get away, get away, get away. We may be scared to death of that wolf, but we would push it away, get away. Or a lion, or what have you. The Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's after the kids. And so this day we want to rebuke as God leads us, and we want to let the kids know that they are somebody. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask your direction and guidance upon what we do now. I ask, Father, that we be sensitive to the needs of the children, and that not one child leave this day without receiving the touch of God. Satan, I smite you in the name of Jesus. I come against inferiority. I come against pride in Jesus' name that would hinder and hamper and hold back kids. I come against the spirit that would say, what will people think? I come against the spirit of doubt and unbelief, and I bind those spirits in the name of Jesus. And I claim the word that says, whatsoever is bound in Jesus' name. And I loose, God, your spirits upon these children right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, make a sheet of me.